Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You already know what it is, y'all. It's your boy, Little Kenny Dot, back with another video, another episode of the Over Exaggerated Podcast. And today we got another good one for you guys. A little under the weather, man, still. Just that cough. Might sound a little bit different. Got some mucus involved in there, man. But it's a glorious week. Another week. Didn't have college football. Well, that's a lie. We had the Army and Navy game. It was a game out there. It was a pretty close call. Nothing too crazy. Then we had a lot going on as far as NFL goes, man. We had Heisman Trophy winners getting announced. You know, we finally took the trip to New York. I need to go back and listen to the old episode where we were talking about who should be in New York. But I think, honestly, after it was all said and done, the guys who we thought were going to be there ended up there. Jaden Daniels, you know, Michael Penix, Bo Nix, and Marvin Harrison Jr. And I think that was like bids for you. I think that was week six, if I'm not mistaken. So by like week six, we already had pretty much the slate of who was going to be there. We weren't sure who the winner was going to be, but we knew who the Heisman candidates were and who had already stamped their bid to New York. I think, obviously, like Penix Jr. and Bo Nix, they had to do a little bit more winning when it all came down to it. Marv was putting up 100-yard games damn near every single game this season. So, you know, seeing them come down to how it all unfolded, Jaden Daniels, I mean, I probably should have known at the beginning of the season that he was the only kid I actually seen on a commercial. So, you know how I am. I get a little superstitious, man. You know, they're looking for a face. You know what I mean? Whether it's Bryce Young, Baker Mayfield, Eddie George, you know what I'm saying? They're looking for that guy who they can put in the Heisman house, have a little bit of fun, Caleb Williams. So, Jaden Daniels is the next guy. He came from Arizona State. He's really, to some people, proved that he's not just a washed transfer quarterback in a washed program from LSU.
Everything he just spit was facts. Congratulations to that boy, Jaden Daniels. I think he had like 5,000 passing yards. He had like freaking damn near over 1,500 rushing yards. Insane on both sides of the ball. He had touchdowns every single week. It felt like he had more than four touchdowns. Obviously, if you're betting, you knew Jaden Daniels was going to have a crazy stat line week in, week out. So, great for him. It's a lot of people out there that kind of feel like the three losses should take away from the fact that, you know, his accomplishments and his stats and everything. And I don't know. I mean, it's splitting hairs at that point. But, like, you know, when you look at his stats, but obviously, if you just say his numbers and don't bring up the record, don't bring up the fact that his team had a terrible defense and they were playing against Georgia State in week 11 and he threw 8 touchdowns. If you just look at the numbers, obviously, there's nobody else to pick. Like, when you do bring up the fact, like, Michael Penix Jr. just did what he did in Washington this year. Bo Nix just had a crazy year, like, and they actually won. And it just kind of feels like they gave it to Jaden Daniels for having great stats and, you know, looking really good. It's kind of like, well, what did Michael Penix Jr. is damn near the definition of what the Heisman has been before this season. So it's kind of why I didn't need to win it this year. I feel like Marvin Harrison was obviously the longest shot of all of them. Like a couple weeks ago, really felt like he was probably the favorite, to me at least. But obviously, when you are a skill position, you got to be week in, week out. Like, you can't just have good games, but you got to really have a extravaganza every single week in order for them to see you. And you know, that's just tough to do, point blank, period. You know, not everybody's Devontae Smith. Not everybody's Charles Woodson. So, feel me? Quarterback award. Three quarterbacks up there. The fact that Ohio State even got another receiver up there, it's crazy in itself. Shout out to Jaden Daniels. I think he did deserve it, point blank, period. The one award I was going to ask you about was the wide receiver. Well, I got two awards to ask you about, my brother. First, I'm going to go with the wide receiver award just because we Ohio State fans, obviously, we feel like Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best receiver in the nation, but you you got a little bit more of an unbiased take with the receivers. So I was going to ask, do you feel like they got it right with the Biletnikoff Award, or did somebody else deserve it more than Marv this year because of the numbers they put up?
If y'all go back and look or listen, I brought up Malik Nabers and Keon Coleman so many times this time this year. Keon just didn't have it going on. He's that guy is ready for the league though. But Malik is the receiver of Jaden Daniels. He was putting up 140-yard games like multiple times. You know what I mean? Like back-to-back weeks. And that's also like, I don't know, man. I sat there and I thought about it. Like, seeing Malik not get it is tough. Most definitely. I mean, Marv probably deserved it. I don't think he got it last year. I don't know who won it last year.
It wasn't Drake London. It was somebody else. I forget it. I forgot. I think it might have been a Caleb Williams receiver. Mm. The one that went to Pitt. Jordan Addison? That might be Cal. Oh, okay.
Maybe. Either way, the point is, I mean, I think some of it was just trying to give Marv one more accolade before he left. But for the team he was on, I mean, Malik was still doing so much, and he had a receiver putting up as many, just if not more, than him at the same time. And so it's just tough. Like, you've got a team where you've got one top 10 receiver and then another team that's got two top 10 receivers, and I'm still finding a way to set myself aside this other guy on top of the guy in the Big Ten. So he's got an argument. You pull up the stats, but I mean, when you start looking at a guy who's got less receptions but damn near the same amount of yards as the guy with more receptions, you have to ask yourself, well, how many more receptions does he have? He's got almost 8-10 more receptions than the guy. Okay, well, what would Marvin Harrison have done with 10 more receptions? You know what I mean? How many more 100-yard games could he have had off of 10 receptions? Mm-hmm. A lot of guys can have 100-yard games with two receptions. So it just depends. Like, obviously, 10, you could say he might not even have 100 yards in those 10 receptions, but it's all speculative. So if Malik Nabers is over there with 10 more receptions and he's got like almost 300 more yards than Marv, like, you can't hold that against Marv and say, well, now he doesn't deserve to win. Like, bro, Marv has had, and they're probably looking at a lot of his body of work, he's had like 3,000-yard seasons in a row, or I don't know how many it is, back to back. So it sucks for Malik. You know, you only get one chance to really, I mean, you don't get one chance, but you get one real shot at winning the award. And he didn't win it that time. I'm sure he's won something else that's a little bit lesser. He's probably an All-American still, but there's just things that, like, I mean, you're going to the league. You don't need to worry about the Biletnikoff. It's not going, if that's what's going to really burn you inside, then you might as well just stay one more year in college and go earn it then, bro. NIL and do the whole damn thing. But you're about to go to the NFL and probably be compared to Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. Like, you're fucking the niggas who came before you. So you're an LSU receiver. Got everything looking ahead of you. You didn't win the Biletnikoff, but like, by the time you get through the combine and everything, no one's going to even remember that or care.
I definitely second all that. Me personally, I do think you got to give it to Marvin Harrison. Just the fact that his starting quarterback is now in the transfer portal, just, you can argue that he had a way worse quarterback than what Malik Nabers had. Just imagine Marvin Harrison Jr. on LSU's offense, or imagine Jaden Daniels on Ohio State's offense. Just imagine the numbers Marv would have put up. So in my eyes, I feel like it came down neck and neck to those two guys, and they definitely just went with Marvin Harrison. Like, yeah, forget it. He's more popular. So the other award I was going to ask you about, though, but this one to me was rock. I felt like Omarion Hampton did everything you can ask of a running back this season to win the award, and they ended up giving it to Ali, Oklahoma State, I think. Is that the school Ali goes to? I had to ask, but did Omarion Hampton get robbed, or did they get it right? Because Schrader was also on the list. Schrader was in third. Those are three guys that you've been talking about heavy this year. I had to get your opinion on that one.
I mean, bro, you've seen the numbers. That bitch, Ollie Gordon, was just truly just putting up numbers. That's all it was. Like, never seen anything too exciting from him. Barely seen a highlight. Like, you didn't never scroll down your phone and see Ollie Gordon. But, like, he must have made the people in that room a lot more money than Omarion Hampton, because I mean, there was just weeks where you couldn't even bet on Omarion. Like, it sucks, especially when your team does lose those few games. Like, imagine if North Carolina doesn't lose two games in a row or something, then, you know, maybe they look at it a little bit different and say his impact is definitely better than what it was. But, I mean, Ollie Gordon winning, I mean, he's got the most yards by a fuck ton amount. So sometimes you got to just go with that, I guess.
I hear you. I really like what Omarion Hampton did this year, especially having Drake May and a good receiver out there. The fact that on top of that, he was still able to have the year he had and kind of bust things open, which you can also use that to take away from the fact like he had Drake May and other receivers that opened up the field for him a lot more than Ollie. So I don't know. I feel like Schrader even got a hold a little. I don't know. I feel like just this year, a lot of the awards could have literally went to multiple people, and like I wouldn't have been upset either. But like, there's an argument for so many people this year. It's kind of like, it didn't really matter who they chose at the end of the day. But I just had to ask you about those few awards. We can get back. We can get right into the NFL for real. For I mean, we don't got nothing coming in college till what, freaking a few weeks from now when we start getting these bowls out the way. We got to figure out who's in the Idaho Potato Bowl and everything. But sick.
Yeah, man. No, there's no college games. Army to Navy. It was 17-11. Army out there doing the damn thing.
Boots on the ground, game. Boots on the ground. And a good season for them, obviously. They started off a little bit rocky, especially for a team like Army. They're normally just – they obviously take a few losses every year. But, like, normally they're always a tough – team to beat, and like at the beginning of the year this year they kind of just were letting teams do whatever they want to them. Once they got to the middle of the season, they started becoming a little bit tough of a win again. They got in their system, they started running the ball pretty well, and obviously the win against Air Force kind of like, I don't want to say revived a bad season, but it was kind of like the breath of fresh air the team needed to kind of finish this season out, go get this win over Navy and kind of, you know, storybook it. So pageantry, whole bunch of Navy sailors and Army cadets in the stands cheering at the top of their lungs and everything. It's always a great sight to see. Shout out Army. They got another dub. Is this like not – can we not call ourselves the best service academy when it comes to football? Like, we beat an undefeated Air Force, just got Navy out the way. Like, are they messing with – can we not – do we not have official bragging rights?
I guess so, man. Fucking on, man. I can't believe y'all ruined the Air Force's season. What are they gonna fly now? They're not gonna get no funding.
Nah, hell no.
Man. But time to transition over to the NFL, man. Bailey Zappi. Thursday night football showing up the Steelers. Steelers still 7-6 positive, but it was Bailey Zappi and the Patriots getting it done 21-18. Went scoreless in the second half, but it didn't matter. Put up 14 in the second, 7 in the first, and that was enough. Patriots are now 3-10. They move forward. It was Zeke who was all over the ball that night doing things. He had 72 yards through the air and a touchdown, and then he also had 68 yards on the ground.
Damn.
Juju Smith-Schuster with a vintage night as well. 4 for 90.
Stop.
That's vintage. Niggas, people forget. Juju Smith-Schuster used to be a Steeler, so I'm actually not surprised he had a good game out there.
Oh, it was a Juju Smith-Schuster game. Wow. Didn't even realize he was a Patriot. Crazy.
Friends game.
Nah, but Bailey Zappi's 3 touchdowns. Probably the craziest storyline of the game. Just, I would not have ever bet my money on that happening, point blank, period. And he did it. So there you go. I probably lost money there. Steelers did lose the turnover battle 2-1, which Kenny Pickett, he threw an interception. There was a fumble loss, so it wasn't both on him, but it is just like, come on, Kenny. Can't keep finding ways to hurt the team and all that. The crazy part is about this game, both teams ran about the exact same amount of yards. Like, the Patriots ran for 82, the Steelers ran for 81. It was Bailey Zappe and the Patriots passing game being able to just do a little bit more than Kenny Pickett in them. And that was literally the difference in this game. So
Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, I'm sorry, dog. I thought Kenny was playing. I'm tripping. Mitchell.
He did not.
Either way, though, for the Steelers, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, you just hope they can get it going, especially against the fucking 2-10 Patriots team coming into this game. It's like, there's no reason why, even if we got our backup quarterback, these guys should be throwing the ball better than we are. So, tough. Bailey Zappe probably just earned himself a, I don't want to say a chance to take over in New England. I'm sure they'll try to find somebody in the draft, but he definitely is looking a little bit more comfortable than Mac Jones looks in the offense right now. And shit, we'll see how it evolves from here, for real. But 3-10 for the Patriots now. Way to get one more.
Man, oh man. Steelers, hopefully y'all can turn it around, man, and do something good. Not really rooting for y'all to do bad. I just want Mike Tomlin to keep his little record going. Stay positive, man. Do your due diligence for your coach. That's the least you could do. Now, speaking of the least they could have done, it was the Buccaneers taking out the Falcons.
All right.
A lot of people are going to tell you you should have went the Ridder route because he ended up with 347, a touchdown, and one interception.
Not bad.
And it was Drake London who actually went out there and had 10 receptions for 172 yards. Yep. And just as we were highlighting last week's production of Mike Evans, he goes out there and has one reception, 8 yards. But he had targets. He was getting locked up.
Yeah, that's not good, Mike. That's not good at all.
Rashad White was the one really out there doing his thing, 102 yards. He also had 33 yards through the air. Baker Mayfield somehow had 2 touchdowns, but only 144 yards through the air. Really, I'm not sure how the Buccaneers ended up winning this game. It had to have been defense because all signs are pointing towards Desmond Ridder and the Falcons taking this dub.
Yeah, I do know my boy Kyle Pitts was able to get in the end zone. This was a close game. Man, with the Falcons, it's just, they started off really good. Kind of been a rough few goings these past few weeks. Obviously, kind of sitting here now wondering, okay, we could have been in position to win the division. And taking this loss, I think we're still in first place after we beat the Saints last week. Just taking this loss kind of just makes everything tougher from here on out, trying to stay in the playoff picture, especially if the Saints get it figured out, which they just took a loss. But either way, or sorry, they just won. But either way, we're hoping the Falcons can just get something figured out. Ridder, I'm pretty sure Vegas only thought he was going to have like 200 yards this week. I think like 195, mm-hmm. where his number was at. Damn near tripled. Tripled that almost. Yeah, damn near tripled that. So, good game, obviously. Kyle Pitts, my boy, that's my fantasy tight end. I'm more than happy he got in. I still can do a whole monologue on how underutilized him and Drake London are. So, the fact that they got Drake London 172 and found a way to get Kyle Pitts involved and got him in the end zone, obviously a great day for the passing game and showing you can do it. So there's no reason why we should be throwing 18 passes per game. Like, I hope those days are done in Atlanta because that's like the worst football you can play with all that talent that they have. So, good game. Mm-hmm.
Definitely a good game, man. Y'all should have got the dub, though. Speaking of people who should have got the dub, it was the Lions versus the Bears divisional matchup. Bears just going out there looking like they could do no wrong. 28-13, Jared Goff having one of the worst games of his career, 161, one touchdown, two interceptions. He threw a pick on 4th and 24. It was just one of those days. Couldn't really get Laporta going. Jameer and David Montgomery both had 66 yards apiece, so you really can't blame it on the run game. But when you're not getting it done through the air, things just aren't going to be that good. Amra didn't even prop. Laporta didn't prop. Only guy to prop out there was Josh Reynolds. Not even sure if he hit his over. Chicago, it was Justin Fields out there rushing the ball. DJ Moore, little 68 yarders, had a touchdown. Also had a rushing touchdown. So, you know, it was the Bears. The Bears had to pull out all the stops. They're 5-8. They don't own their own draft pick, or the draft pick they own is the Panthers. So as long as the Panthers keep losing, they keep winning, man.
Facts. The Bears, both the games against the Lions this year, kind of put on a, like, if you're a bad team and you got to go play a good team, this is how it should be. Like, you want to get the momentum in that first quarter, which the Bears did. They took a 10-0 lead, and the Lions came right back and 13-0'd them in the second quarter. So it's 13-10 going into halftime. It's like, obviously on a normal Sunday, if the Bears don't get those first 10 points, that's probably a 13-0 halftime. Now it's just run the clock out, do what we got to do. But the Bears came right back out of halftime, scored the tied the score up, and they got a touchdown. Went into the fourth quarter with the lead and obviously put the Lions into chase mode. And it's because of them taking the momentum in the first quarter of the game, they were able to kind of have that section of the game where the Lions looked like they were about to dominate, and then boom, they took it right back from them right under their nose. It was kind of like, if you're a bad team and you know you're going up against the freaking 49ers or the Ravens or the Chiefs, like, you want to come in and get off to a great start. And the Bears did that last time against the Lions, and it didn't pay off. They let the Lions come back and get the win and everything. So nice to see him get the job done this week. Jared Goff, that's bad, bro. Like, I'm sorry. Those numbers, just even looking at the numbers, not seeing anything that happened on the field, that's terrible. Point blank, period. You can't have that. Some people feel like Justin's time should be finished in Chicago. I'm really seeing report after report about Caleb Williams, draft Caleb Williams, draft Caleb Williams. I still think you trade the pick, get the haul, give Justin Fields one more year. And if he's terrible next year, then draft Shador Sanders with all the draft capital that you'll have from this year's first pick. Like, do not draft Caleb Williams and think he's about to come throw you to the promised land, because I really don't think he is. Last thing I got to say to my Jaquan Brisker, 17 total tackles in this game, 13 of them solo. We don't talk about defensive guys on here that much, y'all. I don't know if I've ever really even heard of a guy having 10 solo tackles in an NFL game, let alone 13. Like, myself, I was here, and he's not – I'm bringing him down, y'all. So, crazy. I just thought that was a crazy little stat. 17 tackles in one game. He was all over the place, obviously. But Jaquan Brisker gave the Lions nightmares. That's for damn sure.
Quani. Go have to bet the over on your tackles next time, son. Or maybe the under. To counteract it. Speaking of going under, Colts can only put up 14 points this weekend against Jake Browning and the Bengals.
Come on.
Keeping the Bengals in the playoff mix. Also got the Colts in the playoff mix still. Some of these teams are starting to control their own destiny, and it's clear. Browning, 275, two touchdowns, one interception, living the mix, 21 carries, 79 yards, and a touchdown. Pittman Jr. tried to go out there and do all he could with 95 yards, but it wasn't enough. Minshew Mania coming into his own, but you can still see with a scoreless second half, the team is fucking struggling. And like Cam was saying before we got on this game, before we got on the phone, AJ McCarron threw a pass in this game. Damn it.
For -1 yards.
AJ, God. His QBR was a point.
Sheesh. Point two.
Leading leading receiver for this game wasn't Ja'Marr Chase, but it was Chase Brown.
Yes. Ha.
Who the fuck is Chase Brown? He's technically a... No, bro.
Don't think about it too much, bro.
He's a running back out of Illinois. He was drafted 2023, fifth round pick, 163rd pick in the draft.
Mm. So, man.
A rookie.
Michael, I like Pittman Jr., bro. I like Pittman. I think y'all got a good one in him. I didn't think he was going to pan out into what everybody kind of thought he was. Like, everybody was on him last year, I feel like, and I was kind of looking like, he'll be all right. He's really coming into his own, bro, especially these past few weeks. But, bro, Joe Mixon, dog, like, Cordero, like, if y'all can get Joe Mixon to do this every week, bro, y'all wouldn't ever have bad games. Like, and it's just crazy to me because when Joe Mixon does this, y'all look like one of the best teams in the AFC every single time he plays like this. It's like the games where Joe Mixon struggles, the Bengals struggle. And obviously that's true for every team when they run game. But, like, bro, he did it in the passing game tonight. I don't know. It just goes to show to me, like, okay, we don't got Joe Burrow. Ja'Marr Chase hasn't had the prettiest season this year as far as the numbers go. T. Higgins, we haven't been able to get going. Obviously, Tyler Boyd is taking a dip with Joe Burrow being gone. Like, Joe Mixon has to step up, and he has. And everybody's giving Jake Browning all this credit for keeping y'all playoffs hopes alive. But, bro, Joe Mixon, his legs are turning right now. We're living in the mix. If y'all keep doing that, bro, y'all might be sitting there in the wild card with a chance to beat one of these AFC teams. And who knows, Joe might be healthy enough to come back, but probably not. But you never know with this crazy day and age, all the medical advancements we got. I say keep your head up, Cordero. I really think Joe Mixon might run y'all to the playoffs this year. For real, for real.
It's only been 6 days, and Jake Browning is now not Joe Burrow's little-known backup, but a star. Speaking of stars, diamonds in the rough. There's a guy who's been aging like fine wine in this league, and his name is Joe Flacco. 3-11, three touchdowns, one interception. We go out there and we take out the Jaguars. Come on now. And the Browns picked off Trevor Lawrence not once, not twice, but three different times, gentlemen.
Wow.
Come on now.
Wow.
You get a pick. You get a pick. You want to know who got those interceptions? I know you do. It was Martin Emerson Jr. with two of them, and then Greg Newsome the second with the third.
Jeez. No. You gave the second his third, and he didn't even have to have a kid for it. Look, I can't really have to, like, I can't really say much no more, but, like, I wanted, for some reason, I want Trevor Lawrence to be good, and I think he is good, don't get me wrong, but, like, it's just games like this too many times, bro, where he'll come in against a way lesser opponent where you're like, okay, the Jaguars are finally the favorite. All they got to do is play their football. Should be good. Yeah. And boom, three turnovers, three interceptions at that. Like, even if they're not all your fault, it's kind of, but we, at some point, you got to start really stepping up and putting, winning the games you're supposed to win. Like, that's what separates the good and the bad and the great from each other in the NFL. It's like, do you win the games you're supposed to win? Like, when you're favored and we all know we need you to come perform, are you going to go do that? Sometimes it seems like Trevor Lawrence really only pulls it out when his team is losing and they let him throw the ball all over the place. Like, when they need him to come in and have a good game script from start to finish and follow the game flow, it just seems tough for him. So, tough little three-week stretch for the Jaguars, and it seems like they do this every single year. They have just a 3 to 5 week stretch where they just look terrible, one of the worst teams in the league. And towards the end of the year, they start to figure it out. So, obviously, we're here at the end of the year already. Like, they'll probably be a playoff team, but at this point, they'll probably win the division. But it is at some point where you want to see them make that leap to where, like, they have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. They could easily be one of the scariest teams in the AFC if they can stop the mistakes. As week in, week out, mistakes keep happening. They just lost a vet in Christian Kirk, so I know the offense probably was missing him going up against one of the best defenses in the league. I don't know, but just it's a little bit frustrating wanting the Jaguars to do good with ETN, Trevor Lawrence, Calvin Ridley out there in his first season back. I thought they could do a little bit with the talent they got, and they've underwhelmed to me. So I hope they figure it out, though.
I mean, days like this, you go out there, it's windy as fuck in Cleveland. You're going to throw some picks. Things are going to happen. You got the GOAT out there in Joe Flacco's third most touchdown thrower in Cleveland.
Can't keep calling him the GOAT, bro.
He's got to be something, man. Aaron Rodgers didn't want him out there.
Nobody so the Jets remembered got ready. Him for this week. And we were just talking, bro. He has the third most touchdown passes in your franchise's stadium in a different uniform. And you just let him put yours on to come throw another one?
Come on, Cleveland.
We could have found somebody better. Not even better. Just somebody else, period. Like, Joe Flacco was not the only guy on the team rating for. What are we doing? We can find somebody else, bro. AJ McCarron threw a pass this weekend. Come on.
Wow. You wanted us to go get McCarron?
I didn't want you to go get McCarron, but I wanted you to go get somebody who didn't already throw for more touchdowns than Brian Hoyer did in a Ravens uniform, bro.
Go put a lot of work to do that. Look, we could have went and got anybody. There wasn't that many people around at the time, though. We looked around, seen Flacco was still out there in New York, gave him a deal. We regret nothing.
I believe it.
The only people who live with regrets are the Panthers. Because not only did they draft Bryce Young instead of CJ Stroud, they just went in there and lost 28-6. Didn't even score a touchdown to the Derek Carr Saints.
Man, oh man.
While Derek Carr is out there overcoming injuries, I'm pretty sure the Panthers, let me check and double check before I make this statement. Yeah, okay. I mean, they haven't had a passing touchdown in like 2 weeks. Chuba Hubbard did score 2 touchdowns on the ground last week, so I wasn't going to say they haven't scored a touchdown. But, like, okay, because, yeah, we just lost. Oh, that was preseason. Hold on, wait. Did I throw a touchdown in the Titans game? Sorry, y'all, just doing a little deep dive, just trying to see when the last time Bryce Young threw a touchdown pass was. I have to go back another week.
I have to do my own research.
Damn, okay. Hold on. Okay. I did throw a touchdown pass against the Cowboys. Thank fucking God, Bryce.
That's good.
I was about to say. 1, 2, 3. So it's been 3 weeks since Bryce Young has thrown a touchdown pass. Almost a full month. When was the last time that's happened?
It's probably been a while. I will say I kind of watched a few little seconds of this game. It was more than seconds. But I watched a little bit of this game, and then I seen the highlights afterwards, and I seen a couple things on Twitter too. And like, but Carolina's line was in for a long day of work on Sunday. there was like two plays where they just flat out like blitzed all seven, got all the defensive linemen and all the linebackers went on a blitz. And like, when that happens in the NFL, like you literally have a call for that. It's called a hot route. It's hot. You never have a hot route on every single play just in case a blitz comes from somewhere you can't pick up.
Yeah.
And, like, the Panthers' operation is so sloppy right now that on both of those plays where seven people came rushing the line of scrimmage, like, seven people, not only was there not a hot route play called, but, like, it didn't even stand for longer than 1.5 seconds before Bryce Young was trying to avoid three defenders in his face. Nobody around him. Right. But you cannot have an offensive line that ain't going to block. You can't have that combined with the coordinator that's not going to have hot routes ready to go like on every single play. That should be a damn given. We shouldn't even be doing anything where we're making Bryce Young hold on to the ball for too long. That in itself is just nuts. Like, you're trying to get your franchise guy here killed. like quite fucking literally trying to get him killed. So that was probably my biggest takeaway from the game. Is I knew the Panthers were going to have a tough day with the Saints defense. I just wanted to see if the Panthers could kind of give them a scare, get Thielen going, get Chuba Hubbard's on the ground going, and kind of take it into the fourth quarter with a chance. I was like, nope. Mm-hmm. From minute one to minute none, it was the Saints' domination. I was like, well, it's a divisional game, bro. Like, y'all got to come with more heart than that, Carolina. That's point blank, period.
I don't know how or when this man got in the game, but Jameis Winston had two carries for negative 2 yards. Jamal Williams played.
He had to have kneeled it.
Maybe. I don't know. You're probably right. Yeah. That makes the most sense.
I hope.
Probably got in the game, was handing it off. And what's it called? The leading receiver in this game was A.T. Perry.
Wow.
He had one reception for 44 yards. Well, that was just – he was just – excuse me, for the Saints. Adam Thielen was the leading receiver with 5 receptions, 74 yards.
Ah, gosh.
So, nothing too crazy, man. Pedestrian game. Stats are kind of weird, especially with the Saints putting up 28 points somehow. A little bit of defense going down there. Derek Carr, just it might be time for him to hang it up. I don't know.
He just won. Barely, of all weeks.
He's still fighting these injuries and shit, bro. Like, I just, he's not that good. He's got the Saints 6-7 right now. Like, these weren't the most exciting 6 wins we've seen. He's lost 7 heartbreakers damn near. So,
man. No, I definitely feel you on that. I definitely feel you on that, man. Derek, you can do, you're probably right, bro. I don't want to say hang it up, but it is just kind of like, bro, you're in Las Vegas forever. You just got to a new spot. This was supposed to literally be your revenge tour, like, and you got paid. So it's just, it's damn near a triple whammy. It's like, what? Anybody can have the Matt Stafford type of career, but it's like, but you just got set up for the Matt Stafford. Like, you just left your Detroit, which was Las Vegas, and you made it to your Los Angeles Rams, which was the New Orleans Saints. Chris Olave, Mike Thomas, Alvin Kamara, the defense, Taysom Hill at tight end. I'm saying he's valuable, but just like, what more could you want? They were a quarterback away, according to a lot of people. And they just threw you in here, and now we're still feeling like we're still a quarterback away. But we're paying you damn near $60 million. So, just tough. Tiggity-tiggity-tulu tough. You're probably right. I don't want to say hang it up. Like, put your name into the retirement after this season. Like, I'm sure he'll find a journeyman job somewhere, bro. It is. It's like, bro, I'm tired of seeing Derek Carr start. Like, I don't think he's going to show us anything that he hasn't already given us as fans. So.
Facts. You've lost your touch, Derek. Speaking of losing the touch, it seems every team that steps foot into MetLife loses the touch all of a sudden. Turn into the Monstars. They did. Zach Wilson, 301, 2 touchdowns. Masterclassing out there against C.J. Stroud and the Texans. And this started with a scoreless first half by both teams. But somehow, some way, Jets defense, they go out there and they do what they do, man. And what do they do? The Jets defense, they play good defense. They play solid. They play sound. They lean on each other. You know what I mean? There wasn't any interceptions this week, but just an all-around solid game when you're going against the rookie of the year. Held him to under 100 yards. Wow. Probably the first time and last time this will ever happen to CJ. I can truly believe that, especially with how he's played this year. Just knowing him, he's going to bounce back. I think that – I'm pretty sure who got hurt. Was it Nico Collins got hurt?
There was no Tank Dell or – there was no Tank or Dalton Schultz to start the game. Then Nico got hurt in the second quarter, I think.
Yeah.
Tough.
Yeah, man. So y'all see how, like, there's just certain things going on out there. It's just injuries. Then once your team gets the injury bug, it's just going to be tough. I mean, he was damn near. I mean, you can't throw it to Noah Brown every single play. He targeted him 5 times, couldn't get him the ball once. Mm-hmm. They got a receiver in John Mechie Jr., or the third. I forget where he went to school, but that's an elite. Yeah, that's an elite receiver that's not being used out there. And then Brevin. I almost said Brevin, but it's Brevin Jordan was the top receiver for them that day. Like, I don't know who Brev is, but Brev, come on. You need to go back to the womb to get renamed, because that's not it.
The one thing I'll say is, surprisingly, CJ did get locked up for the first time. Like, as much as I hate to say that, like, the Jets had a really good game plan. It was bring pressure, but also it was a mixture of both. We're going to bring pressure on some plays and get you riled up, and then when you think we're about to bring the whole house, we're going to drop everybody into coverage and make you make a mistake. And the Texans surprisingly did not have a turnover. I don't even think they fumbled, because I know CJ didn't throw an interception. But, man, the Jets just, it was three and outs. Every play it felt, or every series it felt like was, if not a three and out, a five and out, or a six and out. And it's like, bro, it was 8 consecutive drives that the Texans punted on before I think they even got the ball over half field. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, in the NFL, bro, you cannot go that stagnant, point blank, period. And to me, like, the game plan from start to finish was shit. Point blank, you knew this was going to be the best defense that you played against as far as defending the run went. You knew it's probably going to be the best defense that you play is defending the pass. You don't have Tank Dell. You don't have Dalton Schultz. Nico Collins gets hurt. It's like, bro, at some point, it does get tough. And I'm not saying you got to go out there and make something happen, but as a coordinator, as a schemer, like, this is what you get paid to do. This is what your job is, to be ahead of the curve. You got to have something that you can go into that bag. Like, we didn't talk about it yet, but the Bills couldn't really get it going against the Chiefs this week with their receivers. So what did they do? James Cook came from out of nowhere in the receiving game. We've seen a lot of running backs this week step up. We've seen a lot of tight ends get some time when their receivers are struggling. And shit, even the Bengals running back went crazy this week receiving. It's like, bro, at some point, you got to be able to go into that bag and pull something out when what's normally works ain't working. And, bro, the Texans had nothing. Like, you could tell once that second quarter came and they didn't score and they didn't get the ball, it was like, well, we're about to come out here for halftime and try the same thing. So I hope y'all know how to do it this time. It's like, bro, that can't be how you attack getting out coached, point blank, period. That's what it was to me. Obviously, players got outplayed. You can't just go out there and scheme everybody into a win. Like, the players still got to do their job. At the end of the day, bro, like, 28-6, Zach Wilson, 301 yards. Like, I could get on the defense, too. But they held him to 0 points in the first half. Like, at some point, bro, I was waiting for the Texans to just get one play. Literally, one play. One good Devin Singletary run that went for further than 10 yards. One pass that went for 15 yards and just set him up over the field to get a field goal. And it's the fact that we could not find a way to make that happen because the defense was so good, quote unquote, which they were, I'll give you that. They're 4-8 at the end of the day. No matter how good the defense is, they find ways to lose. And the fact that you couldn't find a way to even get a chance at the end of the game just goes to show, bro. Like, some of these coordinators, coaches, everything, you give them a CJ Stroud and a Tank Dell and a Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz, yeah, you'll think they're really, really good until you take that all away and you realize, oh, shit. These guys still got a lot to learn as far as coaching goes. So, not trying to sound frustrated and everything. I'm obviously an Ohio State fan. I want to see CJ succeed. Under 100 yards is terrible, CJ. You got to do better than that, point blank. You didn't have the best day. You didn't have the best opportunity to have the best day. But at the end of the day, bro, you are as good as your last week. And your last week was not a good week, my boy. So, got to pick this one up.
Speaking of picking it up, man, it was the Ravens out there picking it up in overtime against the Rams, needed an extra quarter to get it done. Lamar Jackson out there trying to masterclass, send his team in a good position, trying to get all the way out to the, what are you going to call it, the playoffs, to the Super Bowl maybe. Lamar Jackson, 316, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. And he had 70 yards on the ground. And Odell almost had a 100-yard game and a touchdown, guys. Wow. Wow.
Say he was washed.
Washed. You know who's not washed? Matt Stafford, 294 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Had a little bit of help in the running game with Kyren Williams for 25 carries, 114 yards, just doing whatever he wanted out there. Puka
was this technically an Odell revenge game?
Mm.
Is that only against the Browns and the Giants? Like, do we not count the Rams as a revenge? Like,
this is more like a meetup with the cousins. Like, all got a chip together. There's no bad blood. Like,
all right.
Y'all got me out of Cleveland. Y'all gave me a ring, and y'all sent me on my way. We good. I got 13. I got 13 million from the Ravens. Like, y'all did everything y'all could for me possible. Fact. Beating y'all ass and scoring a touchdown was just icing on the cake, for real. For real, bruh. Cooper Kupp came back with a 100-yard game, though. Cooper, I'm going to do my thing. Yeah, then a Cooper Kupp. No, I'm just playing.
What? No way.
All
right, Coop, good game. Man, just to give y'all a little telescope into my life, I was sitting there listening to a YouTube video on Saturday. No, it was actually Sunday morning. So, like, right before everybody was blocking in their bets, I'm like, man, I got to go find some good stuff. Some guy said, Kyren Williams is going to have a tough day against the Baltimore Ravens. I expect him to go under. It's going to be way too tough. The Baltimore Ravens are getting guys back on defense. We should be seeing Kyren Williams money from the under by halftime. That's basically how he was making it sound. First drive of the game, the Rams came out and ran the ball. They ran 9 plays. All 9 plays were runs. 7 of them were for Kyren Williams for 42 yards. I'm pretty sure he scored the TD on the end of that drive. Flat out said, yeah, fuck everything about what everybody thought the Baltimore Ravens defense was. We're going to come right out here. We're going to hand the ball to our running back. And we're going to make y'all stop our run, which is what they did, which is why they had a chance the whole damn game to be in it. They could not be stopped. And ultimately, well, they ended up doing their job. So about just Kyren, good game. I shouldn't have bet against you. You had a good start to the year, kind of quieted down in the middle, so I kind of thought I could get in on that. Yeah, he's probably is going to hit his under against a good team today. He came to play, point blank period. And that's what you got to be careful with betting, because, like, you think a guy is on that, you feel me, that you think he's going into that slump, like, oh, yeah, this is it. This is, he's back to normal. And the next thing you know, it just happened to be at the tail end of his slump. And then kaboom. Now you're sitting there betting the under, missing out on all the over money you could have had that Vegas was getting out. But sometimes don't give up on a guy just because he has a few weeks that are bad. You know, he might pop off week 15, week 16, week 17. Like, this is that weird part of the season. So, Kyren Williams, you burned me, but I ain't hating on it, man. Good game by both teams. I don't know how I feel about the Ravens no more. First, I was thinking Super Bowl a few weeks ago, but now I just feel like I see too many holes in their armor a little bit. That's just me, though.
I wouldn't say Super Bowl team. They definitely going to be contenders. Everybody's looking at the record and is a little shocked. But I think it's just going to be another year where Lamar just has another record for no reason. No offense, Lamar. But hey, keep doing what you're doing. You've brought that Ravens team to 11 wins multiple times, so props to you there. Speaking of 11 wins, no, I'm just playing. This team was destined to get 11 wins until they lost their receiver 2 times this season. The Minnesota Vikings take out the Las Vegas Raiders 3-0. This wouldn't be scoregami, but it's got to be some type of something, because when was the last time the game just ended 3-0?
I do not have the answer to that trivia question. I should have looked it up before the show, but I would guess at least 5 years ago, at least. It can't have been that recent. I'm more so, I'm just, I can't believe that not like two teams could only find a way to put up the combined 3 points. Like, it's, I thought we were really past that, those days.
40 years.
40? Damn. I wouldn't have guessed
that. No, my bad. This is the third time it's happened in the past 40 years.
Okay.
It was the first 3-0 games since Pittsburgh to beat Miami on November 26, 2000.
So, man, it's almost, literally almost 20 years.
Palomalu was out there.
Man. But either way, man, just, I really thought we were past the days of 6-0, no touchdown, 3-0, or 9-3. Like, and 9-3 isn't too bad, but just the flat out low scoring, defensive, running the ball, punt fast. We're playing for field position all night. I really thought we were out of that football age, and it's just crazy how good these defenses have become. It feels like just 3 years ago, we were watching Pat Mahomes come into the league, do whatever he wanted. Josh Allen was ripping the top off of defenses every play. Jared Goff was even making plays. Like, it felt like every quarterback was throwing 4 touchdowns every other week. And like, now it feels like even the best ones are coming in and having games where they just can't figure it out. All right, bro, this was just one of them games where both teams kind of came in, both defenses playing on fire already coming into it. We all know the offenses are kind of struggling on both sides, dealing with injuries. So it's kind of like, okay, can either go the high-scoring game way, or this could be one of the most boring games of all time way. And it's, we got the boring end of the spectrum this week, which sucks for us. I feel like we lost as fans. You know, the Vikings won, but we lost, bro. Like,
no doubt. I hope we can figure it out, bro. I mean, you had Josh Dobbs, Nick Mullins, and Aiden O'Connell were your quarterbacks. So I can't expect much from that lineup. Nick Mullins ended up playing for the Vikings for some reason. I don't know if Josh Dobbs left or what, but just one of those games, man. Speaking of one of those games where you thought somebody was supposed to be playing, but they ended up not, it was the Niners versus the Seahawks. And no, it wasn't Geno Smith out there, but none other than Drew motherfucking Lock. Drew shoot a sleeve Lock.
Facts.
Getting beat by Brock Purdy.
Oh.
368, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Christian McCaffrey, 16 carries, 145 on the ground. But then it was Deebo Samuel, 7 receptions, 149 through the air with 1 touchdown. And Brandon Ayuk with 6 receptions, 126 through the air.
Did Deebo get any runs this game?
Deebo had 1 run for 1 yard and a touchdown.
Oh, Shane, he got a tud. Jeez. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's messed up. They could have gave that to him. I know the Christian McCaffrey bettors out there was sick. But I did. This game started, I watched the first like 2 quarters of this game. It started off Christian McCaffrey's little 75-yard run. I'm sure most people seen it. One of the more fun plays I've seen in a minute in the NFL. Like, perfectly blocked from the TV angle. It was like you could see it all open up for him. It was, oh, Christian, go, go, go. Brandon Ayuk was running. The defense obviously had the pursuit angle on him, but Brandon Ayuk had the pursuit angle on the defense to make the block to give Christian McCaffrey like 6 more yards on the end of the play. Almost got in the end zone. Tough. Brock, dog. Like a lot of people, do y'all even remember Trey Lance? Like, I remember Trey Lance. Like, they took him over Justin Fields and said he was supposed to be the guy. And they drafted Brock Purdy with the last pick in the draft. Like, but Brock Purdy is in the MVP conversation. Brock Purdy has this team like looking like a team that can beat anybody. They just smashed the Philadelphia Eagles. He's had perfect passer ratings. Brock Purdy, that is not a name that I thought I would be saying is really like probably a top 10 quarterback in this league. But as far as production and weekend consistency, week out, attention to detail, getting the ball out quick, footwork in the pocket, like, the one thing that he does bad is he's not the most mobile guy. And if you get pressure to him, he's probably going to fold more times than not. But he's playing in San Francisco, bro. He's got every single weapon in the world, one of the best offensive lines, on top of that, one of the best defense. All he has to do is get the ball to the right guy. We're good. Make the play. That's obviously Brock Purdy is in the perfect situation for his success to be thriving right now. He probably look a little bit worse in other situations. But the fact that the motherfucker stepped up and we watched Trey Lance come into the game and or come in for this same team and struggle a lot of games, it just goes to show how good Brock Purdy has shown himself to the team and to a coach like Shanahan to put his trust in him and say, okay, I know I made a decision moving up to 3 to get this guy, but I see what this 60th pick or this 700th pick is doing for me right here. It's over. I know what I got to do. So, good job, Brock. Keep it up.
No doubt, Brock. I benched you this week. We ended up not needing your production, but the person who needed the production the most had to have been Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, because they went out there and just lost to the Bills, man. Like, y'all own the fucking Bills, dude. Y'all own them. And now that statement can't be true. 20-17. And it was all waved off by just a questionable offsides call. Offensive offsides, to be exact. So I'm not blaming Mahomes. I know he would have had probably 7 more fantasy points had he threw that touchdown, or had that touchdown gone through. And Travis Kelce would have had one more touchdown. I would have ended up with 150 points instead of 130. Like,
sheesh.
I'm not too upset. I'm not mad about it or nothing crazy. I just know that the Chiefs are better than this. We talked about it last week on the show. They're struggling for no reason. Some of it is we don't have any other receivers besides Travis Kelce and Rashid Rice. Like, every single week you look at Kadarius Toney and Valdez Scantling, and they just find ways to drop the fucking ball. Then we got Justin Watson and Noah Gray. I think Noah Gray might have got hurt. Like, these are just backup tight end type dudes. Like, you can see that obviously the Chiefs' skill positions are lacking to the point where almost it's like we're going to win the games we need to win, but it's the 50-50 games that we're starting to lose now. Yep. And Josh Allen can still go in there, throw his original pick, and then, like you said, they start to get James Cook involved. All of a sudden, we got Mahomes cussing at the end of the game because it's just fucking bullshit, dude. Like, blame the refs all you want, but, bro, get a better skill guy. Literally.
Obviously, I know I'm a closet Bills fan. I will say, because I was going to have my moment and get on you for cheering for Mahomes and saying that they own the Bills. All right, bro. The Bills came out, went up 14-0. I think the Chiefs scored. Yeah, they scored a touchdown, so it was 14-7. The Bills got the ball back. All we need to do, just go get a field goal. Bare minimum, go get a field goal, please. Do not – even a punt would be cool. Give them the ball back with a 7-point lead. We cannot give them the ball back. And somehow, some way, Josh Allen makes this another stupid, boneheaded decision, throws the ball into coverage, it gets picked off again. And next thing you know, they're scoring 7 points off another Bills turnover, 14-14. We have to fight now. We have to fight. And it's crazy to me that the Bills literally find a way to squander every single good start they have. If they don't squander a good start, it's because they had a bad start and they had to come back from being down 14 points. And it's just, it just really makes me wonder, bro, what do y'all need to happen for y'all to come in and literally dominate a game? Like, starting with a 14-point lead is obviously not the answer. Like, Patrick Mahomes turned a 14-point lead into nothing. Like, and obviously that's the one player that can do that. But it's just the fact that it just happened against the Philadelphia Eagles. Kicking their ass the whole first quarter. What happens? Second quarter, Josh Allen throws a dumb, boneheaded decision pick. Philadelphia comes back and wins the game in overtime. It's, this whole season has come down to the fact that, okay, the Bills didn't have the start that they wanted to have. Now they need to play damn near perfect football, and they can't. They just are showing every week, week in and week out, we cannot get through a half of football without making just a dire mistake that's going to bring the team back into it. Just totally shift the momentum. And it don't be – sometimes it'll be a defensive player making a crazy play that you can't make up for. Like, bro, at some point, bro, you got to address the number of turnovers, dog. Like, we throw an interception every week. That should not be an every week thing. Even Baker Mayfield finds ways to get out of games not throwing interceptions. He's done it like 3 times this year. I don't think Josh Allen has done it 3 times this year. So, bro, like, Bills fan, obviously, bro, I really am, like, thankful they got the win. Their playoff hopes are still alive. Like, everything that I've been crying about for the past 7 weeks, I'm not even going to get into it because, like, y'all know the whole damn broken record at this point. But it's just the fact that they got off to a good start in this game. They were winning 14-0. I was sitting there like, yep, we good. All we got to do is. And then I look back up at the TV and we're fighting for our lives, season on the line. It's just crazy to me. Like, Stephon Diggs dropped like 2 passes. One of them was a screen pass behind the line of scrimmage. And I'm sorry, dog. Like, you do a lot of bitching when that camera gets put on you after Josh Allen misses a receiver or y'all lose a game in overtime. And, like, it's a lot of hands in the air, bitching, mad facing, a whole lot of bullshit. Like, these past 3 weeks, nigga, you haven't done nothing. Point, I'm sorry. You have not been Stephon Diggs. I don't want to say nothing like that because that's just grimy. But you have not lived up to the Stephon Diggs standard that you can live on. You and Josh Allen ain't on the same page. Like, okay, you mad at your mans. You upset. Y'all chemistry ain't what it is right now, but fucking fix it. And quit crying. Y'all aren't the best team that y'all thought y'all was, bro. Fix the problem. Point blank period. Y'all got to hug it out for 15 minutes in the locker room while everybody else leaves and do that, bro. But, like, this is frustrating to watch. As a fan of Josh Allen, as a fan of what the Bills like to do on offense, as a fan of just the Bills, period. I fuck with y'all. I literally want to see y'all make it to the playoffs and have a chance to redeem yourself for what happened in Arrowhead Stadium the last time. It's like, bro, like, at some point, y'all got to want that shit. Point blank period. It just feels like week in, week out, they are getting further and further away from the motivated team that I seen coming into the season last year against the Rams. And it's until they figure it out, bro, it's over with. It's quite literally over with. For real. Like, we're barely above 500. Like, because of the playoffs is a long shot, but we don't control our own destiny. It's gonna be over here soon, bro. We about to be gutting this team. Sean McDermott might not be the head coach here next year. It's getting bad in Buffalo right now, bro. And people is still treating them like a great team. That's the crazy part. Is everybody still talks about Buffalo like, oh, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, James Cook, the defense, Sean McDermott. Like, but they haven't been that once this whole year, except maybe against the Eagles, and they lost that game. That's just my 2 cents. You feel me? I sound like a mad Bills fan because sometimes, bro, watching these damn games, I am a mad Bills fan. For real. More mad at them than my Packers. And my Packers lost this week. Yeah. Bruh, I'm stressed.
It is tough. It is tough seeing your favorite team win barely than seeing your favorite team lose barely. So,
bruh.
All you want is perfection all the way around, man. Speaking of perfection, it wasn't perfect, but it didn't have to be because the Denver Broncos take out the Los Angeles Chargers and probably take out their playoff hopes. Not officially, but almost officially. Russell Wilson, 224, 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. Cortland Sutton coming into his own, man. 3 for 62 and a touchdown. I feel like I'm just starting to see Sutton hit his over with a touchdown every week. So, shout out to him. Javonte Williams, I put you for a touchdown last week. I should have followed you this week. 66 yards and a touchdown. Moving on to the Chargers, Easton Stick did a lot of the passing in the game. Was not Justin Herbert. Jay Herbro just still battling injury, left the game. He's going to undergo surgery on his fractured right index finger. So he's out for the season. Easton Stick is going to take over the helm. I'm not sure what lies for these guys in the Chargers. They've already changed their coach. Herbo's out for the rest of the year. They'll probably lose every game going forward. But I think they'll have something to look forward to towards the end of the season. As for the Broncos, this is just momentum building. They're like, I think they're right on the cusp of at least a wild card spot. I mean, if they win out, they can definitely make the playoffs. But we definitely didn't expect this from this Broncos team, especially with the way Russell Wilson had been playing earlier in the season. They've definitely turned it around, but even then, I think you kind of just expect more from a team who gave up so much to get a guy in Russell.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. That sucks for Justin Herbert. It's like, I don't feel bad for Justin Herbert. Like, I don't really feel bad for no quarterbacks. Period. Like, you're getting paid millions to go out there and deal with what you're dealing with. I do feel bad for, like, Charger fans for, like, it does suck because, like, Justin Herbert, they can keep him, but it's starting to get to a point where I'm starting to wonder if Justin Herbert is the quarterback for L.A. Obviously, mad talented. You can throw 50 passes in a game with him and have a chance to win without even trying to run the ball. He's accurate. Damn near everything you want in a quarterback. It's just, for some reason with the Chargers, bro, just they find ways to lose. They cannot put the right defense around them. No matter how hard Eckler and Keenan Allen go all season, just seems like those other guys at those skill positions just never amount to enough. Mm-hmm. That defense, as much talent is on it, they give up a lot, especially when they go up against good teams. They always give up so many easy points that I feel like, why aren't they putting up more of a fight? You just said they got rid of their coach. Like, pretty soon, bro, like, they might be blowing the whole thing up out there, dog. Like, that's the only other thing you can do after you get rid of the coach. It ain't like you can just keep changing coaches and keeping the same players around this bitch. So,
true.
I'm not saying Justin Herbert's thrown his last pass as a Charger, but, like, it's how many passes more in that uniform does he have left is my question. Because, like, bro, it's been a long, long, rough stretch. Seems like if we ain't missing the playoffs, we almost missing the playoffs. We can do everything but make the playoffs. So I hope the Chargers can get there next year. I hope they can have a fun, solid year next year with no injuries. Like, everybody healthy, everybody cool. We at least get a chance to win the division at the end of the year. Like, they can get there, keep the team together, have another chance for the next 2-3 years to build on it, that'd be great. Like, bro, right now it's a dark spot out there in L.A., bro. God, we might have to move from L.A. again.
Oh. Come on, bro. We just built SoFi.
That was for the Rams, took bro. Forever.
Oh, I'm pretty sure they play there, too.
They do. No, I'm saying that was for the Rams. We built it for the Rams. We ain't. Y'all the Clippers to this, bro.
There's no way we the Clippers to this.
They got a ring. Y'all ain't even left to the Yachts. Like, come on, man.
Nah, that's facts, and they're not going this year, so. Another year without. I told you, bro. I told you. What are you going to call it? The Chargers are not built like that, and neither is Jay Herbo.
You said it last year, too.
Yeah, I did. Speaking of not being built like that, though, Eagles get taken out by the divisional opponent in the Cowboys. It was 33-13. They quite literally were not built like that night. 197 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions from Jalen Hurts. 38.1 QBR, pretty pedestrian night. nothing crazy going on from Swift. AJ Brown almost had a 100-yard game, though, 9 for 94. Dak Prescott ended up with 271 for 2 touchdowns. Tony Pollard out there doing a little bit, man. It was Jake Ferguson, though, 5 for 72. CeeDee Lamb, 6 for 71 and a touchdown. Gallup was out there catching the ball a little bit, man. And we did all of this without Micah Parsons.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No Micah.
The Cowboys, man, ass whooping. Obviously, Dak is probably the story of the night, but I don't like the Eagles. I'm not saying I'll be rooting for their downfall, bro, but, like, when they lose, I don't know. I just – these past 5 weeks, it feels like they've avoided the loss by this much every single week. And it's like – I always feel like there's just 2 or 3 plays every week that it's almost like – Jalen Hurts was close to getting sacked, but he barely got rid of the ball, and A.J. Brown caught it for a first down, which set up a touchdown, which kept them in front for more points. Every time I watch the Eagles, bro, I don't know. I be feeling like they a lucky-ass team to be getting bailed out. Like, obviously, but the talent is there on defense. The talent is there on offense. The talent is there on at quarterbacks. They're all over the field. But it's like, every time I watch them, bro, I don't know what it is. I just be thinking, man, Jalen Hurts ain't all that. A.J. Brown, eh. Devontae Smith, eh. DeAndre Swift, I like DeAndre, I'm not going to lie. I just don't ever look at it like how the rest of the media be trying to catapult it to the top of the league like they're just unstoppable. And especially when I watched them damn near lose to the Bills. When I watched them damn near lose to the Browns. They did lose to the damn Commanders. Like, it's just when I watch this team, I get frustrated. Because I feel like a lot of other teams are as good as them, but they just don't put it all together the way the Eagles do, which is part of half the damn goal in football. Playing complementary football, offense, defense, special teams, working together to give your team a chance to win at the end. Like, so I can't take away from the Eagles, but at the same time, when you put the Eagles in a tough position, when you come out and take the lead on them and you put them in you're down 2 scores, now you got to come out here and throw for the win. You put pressure on Jalen Hurts. You put pressure on their coordinators. You put pressure on their offensive line. They can't run the ball the way they want to. They can't get tush-push to just run time off the clock. And they got to go win a football game. And that's when the Eagles get into trouble. So, great job by Dak. Great job by the Cowboys. They probably should have won the first game. They were literally inches away from winning it. And I feel like everybody came into this game forgetting that. Like, everybody was kind of treating it like, oh, how many points are the Eagles going to win by tonight? Kind of, y'all niggas acting like they didn't just barely win by inches the last time they saw the Cowboys. So, I don't know if the Cowboys are in the divisional hunt, but I know for a fact, like, that is a momentum. Let's take all this into the playoff. Like, we just showed we can keep up with them niggas. So now we got our eyes on the 49ers in the playoffs now. Like, we know we can beat them. We don't even got to worry about that. We just prove we can. Now all we got to do is get ready for these Niners, and we good. So, Cowboys – rolling into the playoffs, that's the momentum strike you need right there. Eagles, going the wrong way a little bit here. Y'all moving a little bit backwards. Why has it been a struggle for the past, what, is it 5 weeks now? I think they've gone into halftime losing. I think 3 of them they've got to win, maybe 4. All right, we got to figure it out, bro. We got to get back to having good starts and taking the lead, because that's when the Eagles are dangerous, when they playing with the lead and running time off the clock. That's when nobody wants to be in the damn game because they're doing tush pushes and running Miles Sanders like a motherfucker. So
Miles Banders.
Not Banders. God damn it.
You talking
Kenny
about
Gainwell. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay. That back up.
Does not play there anymore. But speaking of not playing there anymore, Tennessee might not ever be allowed back in Miami after the way they beat down on the Dolphins.
Wow.
28-27. Tyreek Hill did get injured in this game. And towards the end of the game, it was like 5 minutes left. It was like, I can't remember. It was 13-27 or 15-27. But, bro, yeah, it was 13-27. All looked bleak. Tennessee ended up going and scoring 15 unanswered. Will Levis, 327, one touchdown and an interception. Tua, 240, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Heem out there doing all he could, 96 yards and two touchdowns. Like I said, Tyreek Hill got injured, probably going to have two 200-yard games back-to-back if he wants to break the record and have 2,000 yards in a season. Because he did end up getting injured, only had 61. Leading receiver for this game ended up being D-Hop, DeAndre Hopkins, with 724 yards and a touchdown. He was out there doing his damn thing, bro. 45 was his longest. Looked like vintage D-Hop out there, clutching up the game.
I'm weak. One of them game for the Dolphins where you Tyreek Hill gets hurt in the little second quarter. Obviously, everybody's saying that's the reason why they probably end up losing. But, like, it is. It's like we probably clinched the division. We're probably good as far as the playoffs go. It's like you don't ever play to lose. But, it's like, it is like there's some games where you know, like, okay, we can kind of pull off the gas. We don't got to throw Tyreek Hill out there for every play, even though he's probably healthy enough to go play for every play. Let's just err on the side of caution and use him when we need to. And, you know, let's not necessarily try to air it out and even really put bodies on bodies with the linemen. Let's just play a good game and see if we can pull it out. I don't want to say without trying, but without necessarily putting anybody's body in harm's way. And it, obviously, I couldn't get it done. The Titans played with heart. They made the plays they needed to play or make. Will Levis coming into his own. I really think the Titans figured something out. I honestly do this season. The Dolphins, that's a tough loss, obviously. But, like, you don't – it's a tough loss, but you don't really stomach it. It's kind of like, all right, we know we got to come out here and have better starts than that because that's probably the sole reason why the Titans were able to come and win the game. We couldn't pull away. And, like, it also goes to show, like, once Tyreek Hill gets taken off of the field, the offense sputters a lot. And, you know, I kind of expected Jalen Waddle to really step up and show, like, all right, I've had a quiet year a little bit than what I'm used to having. My nigga Tyreek Hill just went down again. You know what? Let me come crazy. Let me go crazy. And, you know, it is what it is. So, Dolphins, y'all straight. Y'all going to go into the playoffs. Y'all about to – y'all probably about to be – yeah, y'all should be the first seed in the AFC. And shit, y'all should have the bye week, honestly. We'll see how it all goes, though.
We'll see, man. Dolphins are 9-4 right now. Don't forget, Ravens are 10-3.
Oh, damn. Sick. So y'all won't have the home field advantage. I mean, y'all got 3 weeks to get it. But, like, still, you at least don't gotta go in there and worry about, you know, you should have home field advantage for one of the games, as long as you don't have to see the Ravens. So, oh God. You know you're playing for that. The loss hurts, obviously, especially if you're trying to chase the Ravens. Like, ah, now we just took a loss to an AFC opponent that we should have beat. It's like, come on, man. That's for the bye week. Like, you know, you don't want to play a game if you don't got to play a game. Definitely not want to do that. So, tough loss, but at the same time, if we don't take it, let's take it now. Get it out the way so we can go into these last 3 weeks, get these wins, try to get that first seed back. Let's take where we're taking it. So, they good.
Speaking of being good, it was all good. Last game, Monday night in MetLife, New York Giants taking out the Green Bay Packers. Tommy DeVito, 158 yards, one touchdown. Saquon Barkley, though, 20 carries, 86 yards, and two touchdowns. Okay, Saquon, nothing crazy, man. DeVito had 71 yards rushing, by the way.
Yeah, he had that big run. He damn near put it in the end zone, too. Freaking that big run probably gave him like 35 on that one. And he kept running the ball, too.
Yeah, the man was out there doing his damn thing. Speaking of doing their thing in the rushing game, it was Jaden Reed, one of the Green Bay receivers, who actually had a rushing touchdown. He was out there doing a few things on the run. Who else was out there making an impact? Tucker Kraft, another Green Bay player. He's a tight end now, I think. Four receptions, 64 yards. His longest was a 43-yarder. The man was out there doing it. Romeo Doubs didn't hit his over. and then a whole bunch of just 20s, 22s, and a bunch of other receivers. I'm not sure who they are. But the point is, I think the Packers, we were talking about before this game, they just kind of played down to the talent of the Vikings, I mean, of the Giants. Not to mention the Giants don't have the worst defense in the world. They got somewhat of a good defense going on out there. But the offense in the Giants should be – you should be able to outplay the offense of the Giants. And then on this night, if you look at the stats, they almost did. But when you look at the score, they ended up losing by two. So,
well, I mean, they turned the ball over three times in the first half. That's what happened. One of them was a you turn the ball over two times, you're winning 10-7. Like, you can only ask for that in the NFL. But if you turn the ball over two times, that should be a free 14 points for the other team. Like, the Giants didn't capitalize on the turnovers. They only got 7 points out of the whole ordeal. You're up 10-7. All you got to do is not make another mistake. You muff a punt. When we muffed that punt, bro, and they recovered it in their own red zone, Tommy DeVito had a 31-yard run on the next play. Damn near put it in himself. I was sitting there watching at my grandma's house. I knew, bro, right then and there, like, it's probably over with for this game. Like, we played good against the Eagles, or not the Eagles. We played good against the Chiefs, played good against the Lions. That just, where we can't come in here and turn the ball over three times and do that. Give them the ball back in their red zone on a muff punt. Give them 7 points and think we're just going to go ahead and win the game. And like, we deserve to lose that game, point blank period. Even if it was a game-winning drive, Tommy DeVito made it happen with runs and this, that, and the third. Like, put the game away and don't give the other team so many damn chances to take it away from you, because at some point, we're all in the NFL. We're all good enough to take a game away from you. And if you keep giving us a chance to do it, you're going to do it. Tough lesson. Might end up missing the playoffs over that, which is tough, but like, that's – it's a young team, and it's going to be a lesson that they got to learn early. Like, you don't play around at the end of the season and lose games you're not supposed to lose, because that's literally what will keep you out of the playoffs when it's all said and done. There's tiebreakers at the end of this shit. So, tough. I love my Packers. It was a salty one. I wasn't necessarily angry at the team, just more so like disappointed that we can, what you just said, we can play so damn good against the Chiefs and the Lions, but then come in here against the Giants and look like this, which just goes to show, but we playing up and down to our competition, and that's not how it should be. Like, we should be making teams fear us no matter what, because we always play the same way, point blank. We play Packer football. It's like, it just hasn't been week in, week out. It depends on who we going up against when we come through town. So, got to figure it out there, man. I hope we make the playoffs, dog. I do feel like this defense is really cool. Not saying we can make a Super Bowl run, but like, we could definitely get a wild card win, which would just feel good for this young team going into next year and building on what we got right now. You take a loss like that to Tommy DeVito, and you sit there like, bro, come on, bro. Come on. So we'll figure it out, man. Hope ain't lost. Like, damn, man, that one stung a little bit, for sure.
It is one of those things where you wake up, you're like, okay, we're going to go out to New York, but we think we got it. We got it down. And then you end up, like you said, just taking a simple loss to DeVito. And it was only by two. They ended up with a game-winning field goal. Like, you always hate seeing the game end on the field goal, especially when you're playing in it. I don't know, man. As far as the Giants go, great win. Nothing to look forward to from that team, but just, like I said, great win. Packers. You're 6-7 right now. You're 2-5 when it comes to away games, man. It seems like you guys are playing a lot better when you get home. But, you know, winning those games are on the road, especially when you're about to be in a wild card game, is the way you're going to keep it going. That was the last game of the week, man. I'm sad to say I didn't get to see these two Monday night games at the same time. I mean, they were both really good scoring games. There was always punches coming at different times. But it was also good to see two Monday night football games, kind of give the fans a little bit of options. There was two teams on bye this week, Cardinals and the Commanders. But overall, good week, man. Won a little bit of money. That wants me to that's gonna let me transition into the masterclass of the week. And I can't even give it to just one solo player. If I was gonna give it to a solo player, it probably would have been Kyren Williams just going out there. Maybe. I don't know. No. I really just can't choose a player this week, guys. And in that, maybe Drake London, but gotta just give it to the team who did almost the impossible, if you ask anybody else. Plus 650. Titans going out there, beating the Dolphins, man.
You know,
what more can you ask for?
You know, guys, the masterclass is, it's supposed to be rare. It's not, you don't just see a masterclass. That's not something that happens just all the time, you feel me? So there are going to be weeks where we don't have one, and that's cool, because you know what we'll always have in the NFL? A disaster class. And I got two of them for y'all this week. My boy, Jared Goff, terrible, absolutely terrible. And, man, it hurts so bad because it feels like he couldn't take his name off the masterclass list. But C.J. Stroud, disaster class. Terrible. We got to do better than that, y'all. Come on. We cannot have weeks where we come and play like that. So, Ken said, if you had to give it to somebody, probably definitely Kyren Williams, Drake London. Maybe could throw a Zach Wilson in there just because we're so used to seeing him play trash and he played so good. Like, other than that, bro, there's no masterclass. Like, bro, we don't even say that word unless you really, like, bro, you earned money this week, bro. Like, I could have paid my rent off a $5 bet on you this week. Like, that's a masterclass, point blank, period. So we didn't get that this week. It's okay. We'll always get the disaster class, and I'm going to always come through with y'all for one or the other, for damn sure. Gang, gang.
That's all we got, man. We're going to go ahead and march it out, y'all. Another good week. Look, man, like I said, you know we're going to be talking about this NBA season coming up soon. College football. There is some games this Saturday. Go ahead and put it on New Mexico State. Diego Pavia, however you want to say his name, man. You got one more time to bet on the kid before it's too late. Look, I know y'all are hoping. Y'all won our Super Bowl picks, man. We might have to give them out next season. If you ask me, though, I'm giving it to the Cowboys. I'm lining them up right now, giving it out to the boys, man. They're just doing their damn thing. They look the best out of the Super Bowl teams. If not the Cowboys, give it to the Niners. It's going to land in the NFC this year. Dolphins look like contenders. I'm sorry, man. Dolphins look like contenders, but we all know the Ravens are pretenders, y'all. And the Chiefs are defenders.
Don't count the Bills out.
I'm out of here, y'all. Peace.